Hey, it's River Country's this Sean.
Hey, is this Robert?
Sure is.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going fantastic. How are you?
I am well, thanks. It's good to be talking with you.
Yeah, it's wonderful to talk to you as well. It's always very exciting to get extra voices on the show and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Sean Hogan, you got new music out. Let's just jump right into it. Tell me about your new music.
All right. Well, you know, Robert, I have had a good 18 months of Isn't the World a Lot Different These Days?
It sure is.
And I was in that period of time, as I am prone to do, writing some music now and again, more again than now. Taking a bit of energy towards writing more, I guess, and kind of in a reflective process. And I got to thinking about some of the great people that I've met in my career at shows, which, you know, in the last 18 months, not a lot of artists have been traveling a lot and doing a lot of shows, but we remain hopeful. And I was thinking about a lot of people I've met in my career in general, and then some of my favorite people who are no longer with us, who some of them have passed away in the last couple of years, who are mentors of mine, you might say, you know, inspiring musicians, some friends. And it all kind of boiled down to this song, Drink About You. I don't want to say it's about anyone specifically because it really isn't. This song is about conversations with people, whether they be platonic or not, in my lifetime. And as a songwriter and as a fan of songs, I'm not someone who likes to necessarily write the kind of song that is so narrative that, you know, I did this and then I did that and then I saw you and then you told me this and then that came out of this and then I did that. You know, we jumped in the car and then... So I don't do a lot of that. I like stuff that isn't so linear and it's a bit, I don't want to say poetic because that sounds pretentious, but that leaves a little bit more to the imagination. So this song, Drink About You, I think is a great combination for a new single that is catchy yet leaves a fair amount to the imagination.
Yeah, I agree. I've listened to it and I thought, wow, this is a stellar track.
Oh, thanks, man. I mean, I'm sorry to belabor my point there, but yeah. I had to distill it down to what is this song about, you know?
Yeah,
sure. And I'm so happy that you guys like it there. That's awesome.
So you've this is 25 years in the business now. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that the truth? You know what? It's true. It's so true. And where did the time go? 26 years ago, this time of year, I was beginning the recording of my first album. And 25 years ago, I was celebrating some of the first success from that album because it was out. It came out late spring, 1996, my first album. And I started getting some great airplay. And it went on. And I'm not trying to boast. I'm just telling you the facts. So when it started in late spring of 96, and it went for a good year, and then the Canadian Country Music Awards in the summer of 1997 said, like a year later, they said, hey, we got this brand new award category for independent bands, independent female artists, independent male artists, and we're going to put the whoever wins all down to whoever gets the most BDS spins, broadcast data system spins. So no one can vote. But what we'll do is we'll say the five nominees are coming into the 1997 Canadian Country Music Awards. And then at Country Music Week, we're going to say who actually got the most spins in the past 12 to 13 months. And lo and behold, yours truly was,
you got it.
I was lucky. I was the lucky guy. So it's crazy, you know, Robert, because I recorded my first album in a garage in Langford, you know, just outside of Victoria on the island here. And now I'm back on the island all these years later after living elsewhere. I lived in Saskatoon for several winters and other seasons. And now I'm in this very moment, while you and I are talking, there's two guys out there taking down this old dilapidated deck that's over my garage in Campbell River. I don't live in Langford. But I'm finally getting a new deck put in, and I'm going to put a studio in that garage, and I'm back where I was. But
nice.
No, that it wasn't my garage all those years ago, but I figure I've been recording in the past year here in my office. Like, we record, you know, in studios around North America. I've been recording, producing other artists, but I do my vocal tracks in my office, and then I send them to my engineer. And all my musicians, whether they be my drummer in L.A. or my drummer in Nashville, my keyboard organ player in Calgary, electric guitarist in Kitchener, bass player in Toronto, and on, wherever they may be. You know, we fly all our files to my mix engineer, and I record all my artists and myself, my own tracks, with either Facebook, you know, FaceTime or whatever it's called, Messenger rather, or Zoom. It's been crazy, man. Like, this is how we're doing business these days.
Yeah.
But it's working out. It's working out. I mean, you like that track? Those drums were cut in L.A. The bass was cut in Toronto. The electric guitar was cut in Kitchener. The Whirly keyboard was cut in Cobourg, Ontario. The B3 was done in Calgary, Alberta. I did my vocals here in Campbell River, British Columbia. And you're playing the result.
Yeah, all up and down. But I wanted to ask, like, you've been in here a while, 25 years. How has your own music developed over those 25 years? How has it kind of changed over time?
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think over those years, you know, I've done 7 studio albums. I guess Drink About You would be on my 8th, and I'm working toward, I guess, is how it kind of comes down to. And some of those albums, I would have to say, like, you know, I was always, you know, first and foremost, always trying to be true to myself. Whatever the songs were, try to listen to what the song is going to be and do that. And sure, there are times in those years where I would say, I want to write a song about this. And sure enough, you know, whether most of the time, 85, 95% of the time I'm writing on my own, you know, trying to be true to the song. But stylistically, I think, as much as I think each album has some divergence, some of them it would be sometimes like a little left of center of country, especially on my earlier albums. And I think of my 5th album was the most country consistently all the way through. And I did that one in Nashville, predominantly. I recorded that one in Nashville, whereas most of these other albums, you know, I recorded them mainly in Canada, if not all in Canada. And oddly enough, my 5th album that was convincingly the most country, I think that's where things, I don't want to say the air came out of my career for a bit, but things kind of plateaued. And I think it was an intersection more than anything else of where music was going in 2007 towards more bro country, and I was pulling it back and doing a bit more traditional. That wasn't a convenient intersection, for lack of better words. But so each album, I mean, it's a great album. There's some solid, really great songs that I consistently play at shows on the 5th album still. But, yeah, it's been interesting, man. I mean, it's really a kaleidoscope of experiences, right? And it all gets mishmashed, and, you know, it's really been something. I mean, 10 years ago, right now, I was getting my tonsils out because I had stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And started in my right tonsil, went into my lymph nodes and on my right side of my neck. So I had oropharyngeal, they call it, because it was kind of the mouth and throat area, oropharyngeal carcinoma. And I had 35 rounds of radiation and some chemo in the fall of, by October of 2011. Here I am 10 years later, back at it. You know, and I've had some good success since then. In 2018, I was the breakout artist with Sound Exchange, which is fantastic. That basically meant I was in the top 20 of North American artists getting airplay of any kind of music. And I never saw that 10 years ago. Like 10 years ago, when I was told I had stage 4 cancer, I was just like, what is going on mm-hmm. in my life? Like, what? Why? How come? And where is this going? And to be talking with you 10 years later, and knock on wood, things have been really good. And You know, it's like, wow, life is a winding road.
For sure.
I'm very grateful for things having gone pretty well, all things considered.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Sean Hogan. He's got a new song out. It's called Drink About You. Moving on that point, you know,
sure. Is
there a plan for going forward? Is it like 25 more years, or do you foresee
I mean, Tony Bennett just retired, and he's only 94.
But like, right? do you think there's an end point, or are you just going to go forever?
You know what? A lot of my favorite artists are still with us, and they're usually like anywhere between 10 and 15 years older than me. Most of my favorite artists. I don't want to say everybody that's one of my favorite artists is older than me, but a lot of them are. And so when I look at John Hyatt, you know, and Bob Dylan and Lyle Lovett and Van Morrison, a lot of these people, every member of the Police is still with us and rocking. I think I'll know, I guess, one day when it's time to stop, but I don't really believe in retirement. I mean, Freedom 85, Robert. Freedom 85. I think I'd be a little nervous about not doing something musically for my living, and that's what I've done. I've never had a plan B or a, you know, safety net to fall back on. It's just since I got out of high school, I just wanted to play music. And I studied music industry arts, music business in 86, 87. And then I went and studied jazz as with a vocal minor in 88, 89, 90 at Humber College. And I was a drummer singing. And then I thought, you know, I'm writing so many lyrics and singing, I really got to learn a melodic instrument more than just a bit of keyboard. So I started playing guitar in 1990 when I moved out to British Columbia, out to Victoria from Toronto, and started putting my lyrics to guitar. And I put a band together. I was the drummer showing the guitar player, this is a tune I'm trying to write with the guitar because I'm learning guitar. And I was a pretty good drummer. And so you guys play it. This is the arrangement. I'll play drums and sing it. And we did that for a couple of years, and then I stepped out from behind the drums and started playing rhythm guitar. I never had aspirations to be a lead guitar player, ever. So, and I don't see that ever happening, really. But me continuing to write songs, and then when this thing that we're all living through right now, this pandemic, last November I'd heard an artist that had recorded one of my songs almost 10 years ago, I guess, Tegan Littlechief, and back then she'd done not a bad version of the song. It wasn't, you know, it was okay. It was pretty good. But it was a studio in Saskatchewan that recorded her, and it was kind of, she won a contest. And so she recorded a song from my first album called Vulnerable. And I said, you know, I always thought we could have done a better version of that. I called her up and I said, I've got some great tracks because I redid that tune 10 years after I did it the first time. And I think I could modify those tracks and bring it to a key for you that would work. And I think it sounds better, to be honest. So she said, I'd love to do that. So we did that. And then I brought her in on, because before the pandemic started, I was recording a Christmas album. I have all these tunes, all these Christmas songs. And I said, it'd be fun to have you join me on Sleigh Ride, which is like a 60-year-old great Christmas song. So she did, and she sounded fantastic. And I thought, this is kind of fun, and this is something different, because I can't go out and do my shows. Like, I won't be going to Peace River for the 14th or 15th year in a row with my Christmas tour. So what am I going to do? So I decided, you know, there were other great voices I would hear on the radio, and I'd love to hear them singing my song. So I asked them if they'd like to pick a song and sing one, and I'll produce it for them. And I started doing that, and now I've done about 7 or 8 in the past 10 months.
Wow.
And they're all getting great airplay, and things are going well, and it's something else I can do with my talents, you know, and I'm enjoying it. I got to keep myself busy, you know?
Yeah.
And so besides writing for myself, I've been helping out some people who are considerably younger than me, you know, by a decade or two and more. And they're sounding great, and they're enjoying the process. And they, you know, my label's covering the costs on it. And it's something to stay proactive. And let's just keep the music going, man. That's what I want to do.
Right on, right on. I got one last question for you. This is a question that I asked to all my guests, so I will ask it to you as well. What is the correct way to assemble a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Okay. Well, you got to have the right jelly. And you got to have the crunchy peanut butter, I figure. And then to assemble it, I would say lay your slices down on a clean surface. You know, but you got to decide it's going to be toasted or non-toasted. It depends on the time of year. If it's cold outside, you're going to toast. You're going to toast it, and then you're going to get a nice smooth coat of butter on there. Then you put on the crunchy peanut butter on the one slice, and on the other slice with a light coating of butter. Then you put on your favorite selective jelly, as it were, and put it together. Slice it in half. Is that correct?
I mean, it's you're correct, and that's what matters. There is no right answer.
That is how I do it, man.
All
gee,
right.
That's the skill testing question.
Okay. You have a wonderful rest of your day, Sean.
Hey, Robert. Thanks again, man. It's good talking with you.
All right. Hopefully I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Hope so. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.